Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SMB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder on how to join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. And of course, this lovely broadcast is co-broadcast over on Twitch TV. Just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall and you'll find us there. It should start some little bit after 9:30. So just if they're 9:30 and I'm not, just wait for a little bit. I will be there, I promise. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my account there is sfuoncall. Also, a personal account, which is Paul Franz, PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And if you want to follow me, just a warning that I am very much an O's fan, very much a Catholic, and very much love tech. So if any of those topics bother you, I mean, talking about them at all, then I don't think you should follow me. And of course, I have a tertiary account, Franz Games, where I talk about what's going on with Franz Games, usually the latest updates for the client, the latest Starfleet Warlord games that are going to be starting, and anything along those lines. If I happen to have an issue with the server, I'll be posting there, trust me. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. Starfleet Battles Module R4T rulebook and SSD are now available from multiple sources, not just Warehouse 23, but also DriveThruRPG and War Game Vault. And for those who got it on Warehouse 23, they did do an update also. I got notifications of that earlier this week. When it comes to tournaments, there's none currently at the moment. There is one that's looked to be going, which is going to the Masters Tournament. Looks like it's also going to be a nice small tournament. First 8 people to sign up. They're currently doing that on the discussion board. So if you're not on the discussion board, go if you want to be part of the Masters Tournament. And look for the Masters Tournament. You will find it there. There's still no new Sapphire Star Tournament starting yet. I got to find out when that next one will be, but it will be soon. Moving onward to the Federation Commander Library progress. We've got quite a bit in there already. And the squadron-sized ships, we have 487 of those. And fleet-sized ships, we have 382. And with that, that is the news for this week. So, this might be an extremely short podcast, or I don't know. But hang in there. Low volume. Oh, let me just do one quick check on this. Okay, now I'm fine for OBS. Okay, OBS is perfectly happy with me. And I'll just do a double check on my hijack. Hijack, it seems to be fine on the levels there too. So, no sound. Okay, Dave, I give up on TalkShoe for tonight. It's just not happening on TalkShoe tonight. Okay, that's fine. I'm gonna ignore TalkShoe then for this evening. I'm gonna focus on here, and this is for those of you on and it screwed me up. Oh, doesn't, you know, I'm boxed in. I'm looking at the Twitch video and okay, I apologize to those podcasters who are listening to me complain about Twitch at the moment, because of you're listening to being like, okay, so who cares, I'm listening to you. Okay, I'll move on then. I'll move on. So tonight, actually, I was hoping to get Barry on, and unfortunately, TalkShoe was not cooperating earlier, where D Dave actually could hear me. He could hear Dave, but Barry couldn't hear Dave. Oh, no. Yeah, Barry couldn't hear me. That was it. So for instead of having a me and Barry session, it's going to be a me session and one that I'm not prepared for because I figured that, you know, we have a nice little chat with Barry and Lord knows we probably talk about his exit rules a little bit, probably talk about possibly tournaments, possibly multiple other things. Ah, Iggy, nice fellow Pennsylvanian. Yeah. Iggy's over in Gettysburg and I'm over here in Reading. So anyhow, moving back to actually talking about Starfleet Universe stuff. The quick update, I'm for those on the podcast, I apologize because you already heard this, which is the FedCom library is going quite well. Steve Cole is being very helpful in moving that forward. I actually got so far we found at least one bug in the Federation commander ship cards. North of Philly. Okay, let me see. North of Philly. Towards Allentown? I forget if you're towards Allentown. Or because I'm northwest in Reading, so I know where Allentown is. And north also would be considered Pottstown. Swinksville. Oh, okay. I had a friend who lived in Swinksville, and my son lives in Collegeville, so he's right near you. So, by the way, Dave, if you like sushi, go to Viku in Royersford. You will not regret it. I think they have some of the best sushi around here. So much so that I'll drive the hour drive to go down to Viku just to get their sushi. So, anyhow, moving onward. I'm doing my best to improve the client. Actually, one thing I was doing this week, it was I was looking at the Unity engine. I had a difficult time downloading the updated version of the Unity engine. You know, the whole Unity thing. Oh, Chris, it's not a bug in the bug in the FedCom ship cards is that they've got two ship cards with the same number. And they're supposed to, and the one both of them were supposed to be in the one of the communiques, and it ended up being that so Steve Cole never figured out what it was. Basically, the Federation destroyer escort. That was supposed to be, and I forget which communique it is off the top of my head. I'd have to look it up. But that was supposed to be in one of the communiques. And what ended up actually in the communique was a Klingon ship. Yep. Chris, now you remember that. Yeah, that was a bug. That was a bug in the FedCom ship cards. You know, that is, I got another one, which just happened this week with Sebastian, Chris, which was... There's a ship card that I've currently got, and I sent an email to Steve Cole, and he said, oh, you know, according to the, no, not the fighters, it is the Federation NAC, which is the, an Aegis cruiser. Now, the issue with that Aegis cruiser, it's very simple. It says that it's in, according to the bottom, it said at the bottom of the card that it's from the Federation ship card pack number 5. There's no Federation ship card pack number 5. So only 1 through 4. And I was concerned, oh, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be releasing this right now because it might be something that Steve Cole is working on to release later on. Then I looked at the copyright, and the copyright for it is 2019. So either he's got an old ship, he's going to be part of a ship card pack, which is possible in the future, and we're not supposed to release it, which case, if that's the case, I'll hold off. And just there, in that case, that's a spoiler alert on if you're anticipating the ship card pack number 5 for Federation Commander for the Federation. So that's another one that we found that's like, okay, where's ship card pack number 5? So I'll find out. I'm hoping in the next couple of days, because I know sometimes it takes Steve Cole a little bit of time to respond. But overall, it's going well. When it comes to, you know, Sebastian's been helping out a lot. Chris actually in the Twitch chat room has been helping out a lot. I've been doing my best to push that forward. The big issues, as I've talked about this in the past, which is, Chris can do a wonderful job, can get the ship card completed with all the information about all the properties. You know, what's the BPV? What's the movement cost? What's the turn mode? All of this stuff he could put it in. But if I don't have a counter, I have to create a counter. Because I don't have all the counters for all of the ships. And in some cases, what I have to do is actually I have to create counters myself for that ship, because I feel pretty confident in saying that ADB has not actually produced a counter for each and every ship that they have created. You know, just say, you know, basically reuse the counters for same kind of ship, but not the exact same kind of ship. Like, for example, the Tholian Police Destroyer, which I just posted it up earlier this week. And there's multiple variants. There's the Photon variant. There's the Escort variant. There's the Carrier variant. And I don't have a lot of those variants. I've got two of the variants. I just can't tell you off the top of my head what those are. But I know those are variants, and I've got counters for those, but don't have counters for the Escort variant or the Photon variant, which is, for those of you who know computers, the Photon variant of the Police Destroyer is a PDP. And for computer people, that'd be great. That actually is an old computer. The PDP-11 was one of the first computers I was going to say it was the first computer I ever done assembly language programming in. And that's completely incorrect, because my first one was, I think, an Apple II with a 6502. Second one, which I think right after that, was I did a 6510, which was from the Commodore 64. And then the third one was the PDP-11. And that, because the PDP-11 actually was in college, and that was one of those things that I love the PDP-11 instruction set, just because it was almost complete when it comes to all the operations, all the modes and all that kind of thing, which in my mind was really quite cool. Chris was just mentioning how the Unix was actually written on a PDP-7. And it's like, actually, you're right. It was. Was it? I asked because, if I recall correctly, the PDP series was from DEC. And the Unix operating system was created by AT&T. I'd have to look that up, to be honest. I'm gonna go down this rabbit hole just a little bit, and then I'll pull back. Which is the one thing that I think was just unique And actually, if you think about it, even today, it's most people think of programs as programs. You do everything in it. You might get a plug-in to plug into it to add some additional functionality. The idea of Unix is you take these small little pieces, these little code, little bit, these little utilities, and then you add them together to create something larger. And the one thing, the biggest thing in Unix, in my mind, which was revolutionary, and still is today, because of, to this day, when it comes to easily adding an additive of functions together, the easiest way is, one, the command line. Two, they have what's called the pipe command. The idea is that the standard out, when you print it out to the screen, what could be piped as a standard in, you know, in the input to the next program down the line. And to me, that's revolutionary because it allowed some just awesome functionality. Because the common language when it comes to the data was text. And that's why that works. You know, compared to JSON, yeah, has a really good utility called JQ, which you can query JSON. But I don't think there's any set of utilities that you can kind of pipe together to manipulate JSON or manipulate a binary file. I mean, I'm talking about little utilities. I'm not talking about in the case. I'm thinking about like a photo of a photo. You have utilities that actually can do it, like I think Image Magic can do that. But it's one program which does everything, not a program that does one thing well. Though, if you could say manipulates photos, yeah, you know, that does that one thing well. So, anyhow, moving back to the Starfleet universe and out of the tech and the history of computers, because that's another one of my favorite subjects. I'm not sure. Oh, whatever. But okay. So, you know, one thing we're actually going to be working on for Federation Commander for that portion of the client is definitely fighters, as Chris pointed out. Actually, I have to find out. Chris, remind me, has Fighters Attack been released yet? I forget. I'm pretty sure not. Because I need some ship cards with the fighters on them so we can actually create fighters for the client. In which case, then we'll have to figure out. Oh, okay. Okay, so I'll have to look at some of the communiques. Okay, thanks. I'll be doing that this weekend. I got a few things to do this weekend, and multiple things. But anyway, I apologize. I'm jumping all over the place. Going back to Unity, the big issue with Unity, I had problems just installing it. Because one thing I was hoping and praying. Right. Okay. Yeah, Chris. Again, I've got the email. I've got lots of your emails. I have not read them all, but I've got your emails. don't mind me. I get, right now, I've got 90 unread emails, and that's from somewhere around 15 different accounts. And they're unread because of, or something, that's like a to-do list. In other words, I want to sit, read it, process it. So that's what I gotta do. But anyway, the reason why I was actually looking into downloading Unity and playing with it, because I did a quick search and they went, oh yeah, we got hexagonal on tile maps. I went, ooh, maybe they can make things a lot easier on me when it comes to the tile maps. What I'm looking for is a game engine, one that I can program to basically quickly do SFB Designer's Edition. That's what I really would like to do. Obviously, what I can do now is I can easily add that into the SFU Online client. I can do that. It would be interesting to do it because the reason why I want to do it from scratch is I want a whole different client, a whole different system. What I might actually have to let me stick on the Unity thing first and not go too far off. And that is okay, but it wasn't nearly as easy. I have to do what I want to do because it gives you a tile map. A tile map basically is a layout that you can lay your different tiles on top of, and you can kind of draw your map using these different tiles that you have, which is great. If you're trying to create a game which is hex based, but not hex based, meaning, actually that's one thing that would be. I'm not sure you could do it in Unity, which is definitely do SFB in Unity. I think you could definitely have to move around. The tough part at the moment is that I have to get. Either I'd have to create a. A hex. I might be able to look it up. Hexagon, with borders. Because currently, the ones that are built into Unity don't have borders, which means that the whole idea is that you have a hex. You can color it to be whatever color you want, and then you can then kind of draw it on the tile map, and then it will save that all up, and that's part of your scene. So you can actually draw the scene for your game. And that's cool. And that's great. It helps people that are doing that. You know, hex-based games like Civilization. Things like games like that, that they're hex-based, but they're not hex-based like SFB is hex-based, where you actually have numbers of the hexes. And those numbers actually mean something. So that's why I said you could possibly do SFB as part of the. There's a couple of things that I'm not sure. Actually, using the Designer's Edition, I think it might be possible because you could definitely hard code the different SSDs versus, you know, the way the client currently works, which the client actually downloads. You know, the actual library is kept on the server, and then as you add ships, you can actually, it comes up on a list, and then you can download the ships from that list. It's possible there might be a way to do the component as a component as a part of a Unity game. Don't know. Because Unity is such a different way of thinking. I'm a classically trained software engineer. I'm not used to dealing with frameworks where this is the way it works and you have to hook your things into. I deal with frameworks to a certain degree when it comes to that, yeah. But I have a certain amount of control of the flow of how it works. For example, you know, standard web server. You get a request. The request calls a certain piece of code, and then you can do routing and so forth like that. But there's a direct association from this action to the code that's going to be called. In the Unity engine, each object has an update method, which things happen in it. The thing is, I don't know when the update gets called. How often that update gets called? Does it get called like once a second? Does it get called when you click on it? What is the what action makes that method called? You know, I know like there's another method within a game object is called start. And the start method, my understanding, is when you first start the game, when you first instantiate the game object. I'm not sure if it's instantiate the game object class or the game object itself. I'm not sure which. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that's part of Unity that I don't quite understand. And Lord knows I probably would take me a good month or so. You know, obviously you can do a lot with it. The question is, I'm limited on the amount of time that I have. And the question that has to be is, what do I spend my time on? If I spent it on learning Unity, I can't do things for SFU Online, because there's certain things I cannot drop, and I can't drop like Starfleet Warlord, which I now currently support on a weekly basis. Now, that's one thing I was actually thinking about doing last weekend, weekend before last. And that is making sure I have all the pieces that I need to automate the running of turns. And I'm pretty sure I have all the pieces to run turns in an automated fashion. The only thing with that is that I started looking at this again, which is creation of the games can't be automated. But at the same time, creation of the games are a very manual process to begin with. Yes, there are certain things that can be automated, certain things that can be automated, like the inputting of the builds. That could be automated. But certain things like, okay, where are those player is going to be located on the galactic map? What sector will they be assigned to? That's a very human decision making that takes place. You know, obviously it can be completely random, you know, and it comes to making sure people are spaced out as much as possible. That's easy enough to do in a programmatic fashion. But when you have to decide, okay, this guy's been running between this, you know, next to this guy, or this guy says, oh, you know, I really don't want to be next to this guy. And I try my best to accommodate that. Now, but there is a point where you have the whole traveling salesman issue with those kind of things, where there is no solution program can complete in a decent amount of time. So, but you know, that's one of those questions I have to ask. I have to answer myself, which is where do I want to put time? Because I know one thing I have to do this weekend. This weekend I have to move some of my servers, actually one server, multiple websites, from one server to another because of the current operating system instance is no longer, it's been desupported for multiple years. My current, I'm not sure what you call them. I guess virtual service provider, best way to call it. That's where I have all my VMs running. My computer, in the case of, I'm not sure what they're called, that called compute instances in AWS. I know in Oracle Cloud they are. That's because I work for Oracle as my day job. That's what pays me the money so I can do everything else that I want to do. So, anyhow. That's one thing I have to figure out. Now, one thing I actually was thinking about talking about this evening, and actually I'm going to do this. And I'm just going to do this because
your line.
Don't mind me. And I'm just gonna kill that. Actually, I shouldn't have killed it. I should have just logged out. Stopping TalkShoe because I got a couple of idiots in the TalkShoe that are talking about things. I'm not sure. I'm just shutting down the whole meeting and just because I'm not currently broadcasting that. It's like, oh, well, if you're just there to say stupid things, well, go someplace else. This is weird because I normally don't get that kind of stuff. Every once in a while, yeah. But tonight, you know, it's just, I don't know. But anyway, moving onward. The one thing I was actually going to think about, talk about tonight when Barry couldn't hear me and then we have issues with TalkShoe, is that I was going to talk about that training manual, because the reason why I was starting to think about that at all was that actually we have, I was going to say new players, but I don't think they're really new. I think they are, if I recall correctly, they said they were new, not new players, but they were players that were, haven't played Starfleet Battles for years, you know, and they're just going through the cadet training manual again, I think. I might be confusing people because, Lord knows, they've been quite a few conversations been going on the Discord server. So I've been getting a lot of pings, a lot of notifications. Oh, he said this. This person said this. Because I keep my notifications on for Discord. Because Discord usually is very quiet. And today wasn't that quiet. So, actually right now it's really quiet because I quit out the Discord server. Because of I'm doing this, you know. And Lord knows, there was that time many, many years ago where I was thinking about going from TalkShoe and doing something different. The big thing was the call-in portion was the difficult part about it. The only way I can think of doing it at the moment, it would be to actually have people dial in and have basically get web conferencing or something along those lines, you know. Not web conferencing, but, you know, conferencing software or conferencing, you know, this website. You're like, I know it's obvious to me that TalkShoe uses freeconference.com. And so since it uses that, that's one way I could go. If I really get sick and tired of TalkShoe, though, usually the reason I have problems with TalkShoe is not because of TalkShoe itself, though that I've had some issues with that too. But usually it's the conferencing software, you know, the call-in stuff, which is, of course, if that's the case, I shouldn't be using freeconference.com if that's what they're using, because that's probably just dragging along the issue with me. So, but anyway, I was going to talk about the training manual because I brought it up on my computer. I'm going, I really don't like this. I'm going to go check to see if there's a better one out, because this one looks like it's like pure text. And it's, there's no layout, no nothing like that. It's just one thing that I would not want to show you guys. You know, it's good reading, you know, for teaching. Yeah, it has all the necessary graphics and so forth. But compare that to, okay, give me a sec. Yeah, there it is. This one. which is, you got your SSDs, got a nice, the text is basically, this is ADB quality stuff. This is what you see when you get a rule book from ADB. But the PDF, no, it did not. So I was like, it doesn't have what I want it to have. So because I was kind of go through some of, I wasn't gonna show you the training, but I was gonna go through some of the lessons. I understand that most of you guys that are listening to this, well, I'm assuming that somewhere in the neighborhood of like 95% have played SFB or played FedCom. And if you're playing Federation Commander, you would recognize a lot of what's in the cadet training manual. And so, it would be more of an overview of the cadet training manual because of, I know I've mentioned it. I'm not sure if I've actually gone through it with you guys. I might have. Because I know I have mentioned it before. And just because I know I talked about it before about how I think the cadet training manual still has a purpose. And that's one of those things that I did many moons ago, which is I tried to improve the client. There's still bugs with that, and I still don't know why in the cadet training room that it is what it is, how it is. And obviously the one thing that I really would like to do with the cadet training room that's part of the SFB online client or SFU online client is that what I'd like to do is I would like to have it so that the seeking weapons, your opponent, all that can be completely automated. And tie that in, and I've got all the fixes that I need for the. There wasn't much to do, when it comes to the engine, that would move. It calculates what movement needs to be done to move things. It has ways of calculating what arc things are in and so forth. All that, which is great. And I know I discussed about it before, which was the whole idea of do I keep the engine separate? So that that engine's completely separate. So I plug in the values and it comes out. Or do I actually integrate the engine into the client itself on a more deeper level? I don't know. As I point out, but that's one of those things. That's as a feature I really want to add, which is have a robot opponent. Because at the worst case scenario, if I can get at least a robot opponent for like Federation Commander, which I should be able to do, or possibly SFB. Heck, what I really would like to do, and I don't. I have to wait and see, because I know one thing about the SFB Designer's Edition, which is what I'd like to do. I'd like to basically create an SFB Designer's Edition, which is basically a standalone app. The idea being that, one, it's separate. Two, it has an automated player that could play because it's simpler. And also, I truly think that one good thing would be is to go completely retro. And obviously, if I do that, I'm going to have to make sure that Steve Cole would not get upset with me if I use the old SSDs, which are currently available for download as part of the Designer Edition ebook. And I would use the classical SSDs. Not the third gen SSDs, not the current, updated SSDs that he did with the Crawford boxes and all that kind of thing, but But the old ones, the ones that he hand, you know, would draw with the graphical tools, you know, straight edge and things like that. I think that's the way he did it. That could be it. I have to double check with Steve Cole exactly how he used to do those SSDs. I'm willing to bet the first time go round, he did it by hand with you know, graphical tools like that, you know, like straight edge and drafting table, you know, people who do those kind of things. And that's probably what the tools he kind of used. So, and, you know, I'm hoping to get an idea of, I know one thing I still want to work on, which is the modernization of the client. The one thing I really would like to work on, I'm not sure how many people will be happy about it. And I want to see if I can do both, because Lord knows people are not thrilled with my changes. But at the same time, I asked for help. Many, many moons ago, I asked for help from the community on a discussion board where the veterans are. And it doesn't seem like they're interested. So it's like, okay. So I'll be working on, I'll continue to work on that, because that was one of the reasons why I have the flat UI. I might actually change that box a little bit, because currently it's called look and feel, which is actually what it's called in Java. But I might change the name of that field, just call it theme, to be better way of describing it. Maybe look to see if the preferences/options window to see if I can clean that up a little bit, because every little thing, as it is, Les LeBlanc, who's actually been creating quite a few YouTube videos of and playing online, and I had to thank him for what he's been doing lately. He's been creating quite a few videos, and one of the things actually I told him about, and it looks like he definitely took it to heart, which was one thing I gave as a recommendation to him, is not instead of playing back the game in real time, to at least speed it up. Now, my daughter, as great of a YouTuber she is, and that's what she wants to be. And it's like, okay, you know, you want to try to be a YouTube, I'm a YouTube personality, not maybe not a star, but basically she wants to be able to earn a living from YouTube. And like, that's a tough gig. And I do know that from what I've heard from other person who've done YouTube, because you're always thinking about numbers and audience and all that kind of thing. You try and get your numbers up so that you get the revenue from the ads and all this kind of thing, which is not easy. And Lord knows, I'm not sure how well the ad business, well, I'm sure that there's always going to be a way to show ads, because ads have been used for, 1800s. Possibly even back in in the 1700s, you know, in newspapers I'm talking about, not online, because Lord knows it didn't exist. But one thing that she told me when it comes to videos was that what I should do is take my videos of my games, snip, basically cut it down to those important portions of the game, instead of having you go through the whole game, you know, moving. This ship moves here, this ship moves here. It's like, no. Pick out the places which were exciting, like launching of the drones, like approaching for the battle pass, you know, that approach. Basically where all the action is, and possibly put commentary with that. It's like, okay. But I know one thing about that. Now, that's a 6-hour game will take somewhere around probably 8 hours to edit down to an hour of highlights. So it's a lot of work, you know. And I know people things. I know like people want to see more of it, and Lord knows the YouTube people that are listening to this YouTube video. And I know your names. Well, I know your YouTube call signs. And I know that you want more of that. You want that posted on this feed. And, you know, I'm not sure if that'll happen. Because, as I've pointed out before, is that this was mainly meant for a feed for podcast, not for... And as a way of showing the video for my podcast, not as purely a mechanism for encouraging people to see how cool SFB is, how cool Federation Commander is, and join in and be a part of the community. I understand that. But, you know, the original goal for this podcast, the time of day, the talk show, all of that. The original reason for that was to build a community that people have a place where they can come every Thursday night and talk about the Starfleet battles, talk about the thing that they love. And that was not too bad early on. But, you know, it's gotten down to Barry shows up every once in a while. We got Dave, he's here, you know, and now, you know, with Twitch, I've got, you know, Chris and Iggy, i.e. Jonathan, you know, and it never became the community that I wanted it to be. Maybe it's because I don't know how to build a community, which is, if someone said that, I would have to agree with them, because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do that. So... no matter what, I will continue doing this podcast going forward because I enjoy doing this podcast. Dave, be careful about what you say. Dave's saying, "Oh, well, I'll meet in Harrisburg one day." Just to let you know, Dave. The Gamers of Summer should be when it should be. I think it's Labor Day weekend is usually when it is. Go for it, Iggy. ASL. That's it being ASL, the two classic tactical games in my mind. They're so close. They're so close when it comes to the number of rules and how detailed they get into, which is really awesome. But to let you know, Gamers of Summer, Gamers of Winter, which happens around Harrisburg, it's a small convention. It's the one room convention is what it is, and we usually get a bunch of Dungeons and Dragons people. They rent out. They come. And they pay, they themselves almost pay for the room. You know, because I forget what they're playing these days, but they usually play in the back of the room. Which is fine. You know, they're good people. You know, I've never had an issue with them. And they like playing games, which is what the whole convention is about. And then we have, it's almost like a game club, per se, that we join up, we meet up twice a year, once for summer, once for winter. And we'll play all kinds of games from Galactic. I was gonna say Galactic Conquest, but that's not right. I forget what it's called now. I don't know. Splendor, all kinds of board games. Lord knows, Barry and I will probably be playing Brass at some point. Oh, Barry will be. Dave, when it comes to the Gamers of Summer, he will most probably will be there. So, if you guys want to meet and play Starfleet Battles at a kind of I call it a mini convention because it's the one room convention is what it is. I'll make sure that I announce it here. I'll make sure that I give you guys the time, and I'll be happy to play SFB for the whole entire weekend, which is going to be Saturday and Sunday, because usually he does it like Labor Day weekend, and usually Monday I don't show up because of I have it as kind of a, I consider it a family day, you know, it's but you know because I'm gone for the other 2 days, so I want to spend some time with my family. Surprise, but yeah, if you guys are willing to join meet up with me for Gamers of Summer, I know Doug Howard would love to have you guys there, and I would love to have you guys there. I bring all my stuff, all my FedCom stuff, all my SFB stuff, so we can chill out and play. That'd be fantastic. I know Barry, he should be there. If he is there, that'd be great to have him there too. So with that, I think I will wrap this up for this evening. I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night. Screw you. Not logged in. And it's a little late to log in now, I know.